From the hallowed halls of Floodlaw, via the Golden Tower of the Fisher Building, this is Behind the Bench on News Talk 760 WJR. With your law expert, Todd Flood. Brought to you by Floodlaw. Floodlaw, when it matters. Visit floodlaw.com. Now get ready with your legal questions for one of the Great Lakes' leading attorneys by calling 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0WJR. Now here's your host, Todd Flood.
We're back. Well, a new day is dawning. We have a lot to talk about. Obviously, with President Trump coming on to the reins, several things have already taken place. I think we might want to talk about some of the parting acts that former President Obama took just before in the 11th hour that has changed a little bit of the surveillance system around the world. We may want to talk about that. Perhaps something in the legal world that's going to be talked about quite a bit is who's going to be our next United States Supreme Court judge. My vote, and I hope if it can go to any place, it would be Justice Joan Young from the Michigan Supreme Court. There couldn't be a better choice. I know she's on the short list. At least that's what's been put out there. She is more than qualified and a great justice for us in the state of Michigan, but boy, would she be awesome on the Supreme Court, United States Supreme Court. I hope we get some calls coming in on that aspect, but we have a lot to talk about. If you want, call in 1-800-859-0WJR, 1-800-859-0WJR. So, a parting gift. In the 11th hour, a surveillance system basically allowing for the intelligence community to share raw data. President Obama had signed basically that all the agencies now that communicate and monitor cell phone activity, text messages, emails, all the like across the world now can share that raw data with Homeland Security and the FBI and the like. And that is going to be interesting because it's not intended, when President Reagan did this and back in the day, it wasn't intended for anyone in the United States to have their phones or their text messages or emails or the like, whatever it may have been, monitored. It was for foreign countries. Well, now what it's kind of the backdoor loop. What happens is if you communicate with someone across the pond or in a place where the intelligence is being gathered, your information then could go through those agencies. And that is going to be an interesting attack because the discovery rules for someone that gets charged in a crime using that intelligence, that information won't be coming forthwith to defense attorneys. I see that we have my man Vince coming into the playbook today. He looks like he's been going at it hard. He's fixing up his mics and his technology. But anyway, we have that's on the horizon for us to think about, defense attorneys and judges. That one of the things that's going to happen in this surveillance world, that we get more and more surveillance out there, is going to be whether or not these agencies that collect the raw data, whether or not that information is going to be able to be shared with criminal defendants and or defense attorneys and or judges. So, for example, if you're communicating with someone overseas that's a target of an investigation, and next thing you know, that raw data goes to Homeland Security or the FBI, and they see your information, they now can investigate the communications, and if there's a criminal act that's in there, you're going to be prosecuted, realistically, one, and two, that data may not be shared under the act. In other words, your you wouldn't be able to see what was the probable cause that got you arrested, or your criminal defense attorney wouldn't be able to see the probable cause that under those particular surveillance that got you arrested. And that could be troublesome. I could see the debates going on. It's a violation of the Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment. I could see those debates going on and those arguments in the courtroom. And it's gonna take some time, I'm sure, if this does come to fruition. But the parting gift of President Obama is that he, in this act, allowed all agencies, not just the NCAA, but he allowed all agencies to share the raw data. And it used to be just focused in on one agency. But now, FBI, you name it, Homeland Security, CIA, all of them will be able to share that information. I'm curious why that was done in the 11th hour. I have my speculations, but what say you? Call in 1-800-859-0WJR. And then we have something that obviously is going to cause, I've looked at the candidates, there are potential candidates that will come in front of the Senate. As far as our United States Supreme Court justice is concerned, Justice Scalia, and Joan Young clerked for Justice Scalia. I'm a big fan of Justice Scalia, someone that didn't interpret what the legislature intent was, but interpreted the text of the statute and laws. Justice Young is someone that clerked for him. She was a professor at University of Michigan, and also was appointed by our governor, Rick Snyder, to the Supreme Court. And she adds a great balance to our Supreme Court. I haven't heard anything bad about her, and her opinions for which she is opined in or consented in it have all been, I think, welcomed or solid legal opinions. So who's going to be the next replacement? Now, there are some candidates out there that candidly are scary to me, leaned way too far one way or the other. But we'll see how that goes. We got several other things that we're going to talk about. And obviously, there was a tragedy yesterday, a three-year-old, and our hearts and prayers go out to the family, who was killed in Dearborn Heights in a tragic accident wherein a fixture over at a gymnasium fell and collapsed and took the young person's life. That is something that we have at Flood Law. We have delved into several occasions where there was a catastrophe in either a private or a public building, public education school building or private. And those are very scary situations. But what is concerning is that a lot of these schools and older schools need repair and need their fixtures brought up to the standards for which we as parents want to send our kids to and make sure that the schools are safe. These are difficult lawsuits to handle because there's a immunity for public education for institutions that are public unless there's an exception. There's an exception to sue a school through the insurance company oftentimes, but that is the fixture exception. We'll get back to that more. I see we got some callers coming in. 1-800-859-0WJR, 1-800-859-0WJR. Call in with your questions. Surveillance, who's going to be our next United States Supreme Court, and our school systems. We know that Mike Duggan is doing everything he possibly can in the school board to bring up all the public buildings in the city of Detroit and around the state. That's growing concern. So we'll be right back right after this.
Flood. You're listening to Behind the Bench, radio's most comprehensive legal forum, where you ask the questions and Todd Flood provides informal counsel. Submit your legal questions at 800-859-0WJR. And get to know Todd Flood at floodlaw.com. Now, here's Todd Flood.
We're back. So, we have a new spot here, so we're getting used to the board. Anyway, I misspoke. Obviously, Justice Larson from our Supreme Court, that's the candidate that we would be well served if she was on our United States Supreme Court. She is one that comes from the University of Michigan. She graduated Northwestern, number one in her class in law school. She has been endorsed and applauded by all sides of the aisle. She clerked for Justice Scalia for the various shoes, very difficult shoes, if impossible, to fill on our United States Supreme Court. But she is a candidate. I think that if we got her in to the United States Supreme Court, our court would be, and our land would be well served. So whatever and whomever, if that decision comes in, you can rest assured there'd be a lot of happy jurists and lawyers in our state, and I believe across the land. So 1-800-859-0WJR, 1-800-859-0WJR. So there are other things that are coming into play that will be interesting, and that's going to be how the landscape of our Fourth Amendment comes in with prosecutions, that if there is activity across the bay or across the lands in foreign countries that come to us through surveillance systems, that intelligence now, the intelligence gathering community gets, of whether or not that information can be disclosed. And I know that we had several people that have been writing about that. Going to be interesting. We know that now federal agencies across the board, FBI, CIA, Homeland Security, are monitoring more raw data than ever before, as opposed to just one agency. And because it's a world of technology and a world wherein we can just with a, you know, email, Snapchat, you name it, communicate, if there's probable cause to make that arrest, here someone on this side that does the crime, they're realistically not going to be finding the evidence that gave the probable cause, because under the act, until that's litigated, under the act, that information is top security. So what say you? 1-800-0-957. So 1-800-859-0-957. Call in with your questions. So also coming into play, we have the education secretary with Betsy DeVos, and you know, you're not going to be able to please everybody, but Betsy DeVos is someone that has been working on education and charter schools and making sure that and I listened a little bit to on the radio a little bit to her comments and hearings, and she's saying all the right things. Access for everybody, education for everyone, top education. But one of the things that it just keeps on popping up, we had a case in the Upper Peninsula not too long ago where a public school with a private contractor to maintain the school, a young person died that 2 years ago in the UP. Another one, again, this up last year in 2016. And then just yesterday, very sad, a school in Dearborn Heights that was converted to a federal grant program and state grant program. sad, tragic loss of a three-year-old. Well, herein lies the problem, the infrastructure of our schools and making sure that our buildings are safe. It's very difficult for families to regain or try to right that wrong in the civil world as far as a lawsuit goes. There are exceptions, and one of the exceptions is when there is a fixture exception. That is that the apparatus that was that caused the injury or the harm or the death, and there's been so many injuries. I have a table full of cases where there have been injuries caused by some sort of apparatus in the school system. But when it's a fixture, and the fixture is something that's attached permanent to the building, or is such that certain tests that it would have to go through to show that it's not something that's going to be easily moved at all, and something that becomes basically tied to the building with either the bolts in the construction of the building onto the wall. We had a case that has involved several in the art room, believe it or not, wherein you got a pug mill. That's something that deals with clay, and it rejuvenates the clay that's been used, and you put it in, and it's supposed to be affixed to the wall. Everything from those types of situations to you name it. We had a case where an air conditioner fell that was attached to the wall and the bracing, and no one maintained it. And the next thing you know, the air conditioner rusted through the bolts and the like and hurt a young child. Those things that are coming up, albeit we need great teachers. We need the resources to make sure that we get great teachers, but we also need buildings and safe places that we can have our kids go to. And I know that that's an issue in the city here in Detroit, and I know they're working on it. I hope to have on the show here shortly a guest that has just texted in saying that he's in charge of the maintenance of several buildings. And unfortunately, he's indicated to us several times that he doesn't have enough manpower or money to run to the places he needs to run to take care of all of the buildings. So, what say you? 1-800-859-0WJR. I think, Vince, did you get your stuff hooked up yet? Well, good to have you in. Good to have you in. How have you been doing? Are you busy out there in the trenches of dealing with, all our district courts and circuit courts within Wayne County and Macomb and Oakland?
Todd, district courts, circuit courts, all been fun. It's been an honor to be running around and running through the circuits. But while I'm on the topic, I want to take a moment to shout out a really special person to me. Judge Tim Kenny, the presiding judge at the Frank Murphy Hall of Justice, our Third Circuit Court, recently celebrated 20 years on the bench, just a monumental accomplishment. And I've been with Judge Kenny throughout the course of my career, throughout my educational career. He's been a guiding force for me, and I just wanted to give props to him, someone who's done a lot for the mental health court, someone who's really taken it on to make sure that the public defender system is addressed. He's done more for that court behind the scenes than just about anybody on the bench. And that's not taking anything away from anybody else. This is just a strong person who has taken a liking to what he does. And he does it with pride, and he does it with excellence. So congratulations, Judge Kenny, on 20 years.
Well, we know Judge Kenny is a oftentimes he listens in when he can, his schedule when it affords him. So Judge Kenny is one of the best judges in our state, no question about it. 20 years, heck, he was my first murder jury trial with the Mike Cox. We had two defendants. We were Mike and I prosecuted a case, and I'll never forget that case. He is, by far and large, no question. You're right, Vince. He's one of the best. I'm going to see if we can grab him on today. But he is always, always on top of it. And if there's any man that's a pillar to our court system for the good and for the best, it's Judge Kenney. So we'll reach out to him. Let's see if we can get him on. We'll be right back. You got any questions, any thoughts, comments, you name it, we're here for you. Behind the Bench with 1-800-859-0WJR. 1-800-859-0WJR. And we'll be right back after this.
If you're seeking counsel, get to know Flood Law's Todd Flood. Call the office during business hours at 248-547-1032 or visit floodlaw.com. This is Behind the Bench on News Talk 760 WJR. And now, here's Todd Flood.
We're back. A lot going on. So, you know, we obviously have big picks by the president coming up. We have hopefully Justice Larson from our Supreme Court, top pick, I think, of the 5-6 candidates, hands down best qualified, most qualified, and balanced to the court. So, hate to see her leaving the state of Michigan, but are you kidding me? For the Supreme Court of the United States, that's a no-brainer. Fouts predicts more recordings will be released. This guy, I don't know, but I think the mayor there has some serious problems. I don't know. That you think he might be prosecuted? That's a no-brainer, right? That should be coming, I would imagine. And obviously, I would imagine impeachment, but who knows? I got to see all the facts, but those facts so far don't look so good. We also have, my former client, and I stir up everything here. Kwame Obama reduces sentences, but not for my client, Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick, former Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick. I got to tell you, and I know people are going to be squirming in their seat on this, but that's a no-brainer to me. He should have made that happen, but whatever. That sentence, that time, that amount, that's heavy. But I know, I may have just lost 5 phone calls off that statement in and of itself. But 1-800-859-0WJR, 1-800-859-0WJR. You know, it's also something that's going on as we see the politics and the things that are happening in our school districts here. I am jury's out, but I'm a Betsy DeVos fan to the extent that everything she's saying is all the right things. My father was a public school teacher, I think was the best in the world, and did an amazing job. But times have changed. Things that he had access to back in the day, may he rest in peace, far different than what our teachers have access to. So hopefully we can turn that page, because that's where everything's at. I see we got a couple people calling in, so my board's not working, guys. I don't know if that's not coming up or not, but yeah, I don't know. So anyway, I see people wanting to call in, calling up on the line. What say you on Kwame Kilpatrick and the commutations? I don't know. That's going to be interesting, and I'm sure that's going to stir up some thoughts. It definitely polarizes our city. You know, one of the other things that I've been monitoring here, Detroit treasurer stepping down, inexperienced said his officials moved to a land bank position. Shemansky, I don't know, he had all the credentials ahead of time, and seems to be, but I would imagine, you know, the scrutiny of the land bank and the like is possibly something of the that's out there. But he's a great judge. He was a probate judge. He was someone that was very, very well respected in our court system, and always did a great job. Someone that is took on a big role for our Mayor Duggan, and someone that we I don't know, we'll see more, but I know this much: Judge Szymanski definitely welcome back on the bench. We got someone from Cleveland calling, and I'm not sure, Gail here. Gail, can you hear me?
Hello, yes, I can hear you.
Hey, Gail, how are you? What's on
Good.
Your mind?
I was pleased on the election. It wasn't that Trump was necessarily my first choice, but things leading up to it, and particularly the contributions from your state, even before the count, in Primus from Hillsdale, and the excerpts from it, and I've been a subscriber for about 5 years, and I was totally impressed with the year 2015 and the excerpts for that.
Sure.
So one of the things that I did leading up to the election for about a year, I purchased some of those excerpts and made a little packet of them and gave them to particular people that I thought could be influenced, including this girl, they're in her like 20s. I only gave her a couple to begin with. And then when I saw her again, she said, oh, I really like those. I was so glad. So I gave her the rest. And I just, the contribution of your state, and I'm from the Midwest, and in particular, one of the outstanding in Primus in 2015 was Senator Tom Cotton. I think it was the October foreign policy and the Constitution. I was just, it's so wonderful. And then when I got the 2016 spring, which talks about the increase from 2015 to 2016 and the percent increase throughout the entire U.S. in all states. I did a spreadsheet of the increase.
Yeah.
And the states, and the state of Massachusetts between 2015 2016 was 100%, 101%.
Yeah.
And I called them to verify, yes, that was true, and they told me it was easy.
Gail, tell me this. Tell me where your thoughts are on this. And you sound like a learned person that's been following, and it's a bravo to you as a citizen to make sure that, you know, we as citizens keep up on everything. Where are your thoughts on some of these appointments, and who would you want to see in the United States Supreme Court? What would you would like to see President Trump put in to fill the shoes of Justice Scalia?
I mean, I've just kind of learned. I mean, I've always been who I've been for many, many years.
Yeah.
But I never, and I'm in my early 60s.
Well, you're young, Gail. You're young. So,
and I know some of, I just have limited knowledge of that. Yeah. But I do know between the last 5 years and really the last 20 years, all the various conservative talk show hosts, I've kind of learned more and more as time went on. And I've had no television for 8 years. When I had no high, you know, I had to have that special TV, I just shut it off.
yeah. Well, Gail, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah. I'm hearing about your nominee, and I'll have to look up more about her. But yeah.
Well, Justice Larson, from our Supreme Court, probably, I think, of the five or six, she stands, to me anyway, if you look at what she's done, and this journey of her life. She was a professor at U of M, but she also was clerk under Scalia. She was number one in her class at Northwestern, and she's now on our bench doing a great job. She has all the makings for a wonderful long-term United States Supreme Court. But thank you so much, Gail, for calling
and
in.
And Heather McDonald, too. The War on Cops and Practical Immigration, she was like another outstanding 2015.
Wow.
So Hillsdale is just wonderful, and maybe someday I'll be able to visit there. So,
well, it's a great college, great university, so thank you. Be well. So, well, there you have it. We got Gail from Cleveland calling, and I'm not quite sure she applauding our Hillsdale College and political periodicals out there written by the university or by the College of Conservative Think Tank. So, you know, I would imagine my thought is that we get everybody and their brother going to the auto show, as it should be here in Detroit, and talking about cars. I went to the auto show. I had the great honor of going there and touring around the cars. I will tell you what one thing that blew me away was the these self-driving cars and where the technology is going. But, God, you know, it's a scary situation, but we're going to be the Jetsons before we know it. But speaking of cars, and again, a gentleman, John Neal, who works for Barb McQuaid, big shout out to Barb McQuaid and her office. Barb is one of the best federal prosecutors around, runs a great office. But John Neal, who worked a lot of these cases, Volkswagen bringing them to their knees, and Takata, I'm sorry, of making sure, you know, that they step up to the plate and pay their dues. He is, Barb McQuaid has a great, great office, but I got to give a shout out to John Neal as being one of the best prosecutors I've ran across. So, anyway, we'll be back. There's lots to talk about. We have several topics. I see the phones going off, but I'm not sure, something going on with the board here. So, anyway, we'll be right back with Behind the Bench, 1-800-0-WJR, 1-800-859-0957. We'll be right back.
From the hallowed halls of Flood Law, via the Golden Tower of the Fisher Building, this is Behind the Bench on News Talk 760 WJR. With your law expert, Todd Flood. Brought to you by Flood Law. Flood Law, when it matters. Visit floodlaw.com. Now get ready with your legal questions for one of the Great Lakes' leading attorneys by calling 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0WJR. Now here's your host, Todd Flood.
We're back. So, auto show week. Everybody's coming down. It's great to see Detroit going, you know, and moving people, commerce, it's something to see all the new cars and the excitement down here. Same time, you come down here, you see this building, Frank Murphy, and across the street, you see a lot where there is, I don't know, a serious eyesore. Whoever's going to take care of that, it's supposed to be our jail. I'm not sure if that's going to happen or not happen. But we have Ford Field, Tiger Field. We're going to have Joe Louis Arena, or Ice Arena. It's everything's right there. I don't know. Our court system, we need better facilities. But from behind the bench, we got to tell you, we need to fix that up. I see that we have a great friend, Judge Mester, Fred Mester. Judge, how are you?
Oh, very good, Todd. You have an excellent program, and after you mentioned three of my favorite people on the air just recently, from Judge Kenney to Justice Larson to Barbara McQuaid, I had to call in and affirm everything you said. You've got a great program. You're providing a great service to the public. Thank you.
Judge, thank you so much. Great to hear your voice, and those are three wonderful people.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I worked when I was special master down in Detroit between the Wayne Circuit and the Wayne County. And Judge Kenney was one of the most advanced thinking individuals in making the system more reflective and more responsive to the people.
He's someone that, to me, he swore me in. I don't know how many, many, many years ago that was. My first murder trial with him and Mike Cox, and I've had so many cases as a prosecutor and as a defense attorney in front of him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he follows simple, basic rules of being good and being a gentleman and knowing what you're doing in
Absolutely.
That courtroom. And he just, he gives our system a breath of fresh air every time I get to go in front of him. So how are you doing? What's going on with you? What's new in your world?
Well, I do arbitration, mediation, facilitation. I represent pro bono a lot of veterans, and I just enjoy being engaged with our profession and, you know, seeing individuals like you when I go to the courthouse periodically, and good friends and good attorneys and people that serve our community well. And hopefully I can continue serving.
Well, we need you. We need you to serve out there. And the veterans pro bono work you do. I had a veteran murder trial a couple of years ago, and it's still with me. You know, it still hangs with me. As I think of Jake every day. He was in battle, you know, it's tough for our veterans coming over when they've been across seas fighting. So
it surely is. Someday I'd like to take you over to Macomb County and the only veterans homeless shelter between Oakland and Macomb County. It's called Vets Returning Home. I'd like to introduce you to the head of that.
Oh, I'd love it. I would love it. Well,
because I think you could provide a lot of, at least have a conduit to when they do have problems and they need some good counsel.
Well, Judge, the pleasure would be mine. Thank you so much for calling in, and I really appreciate you listening, and I love the work you do, and we need you out there.
Well, thank you very much, and I agree with that woman from Cleveland.
Good deal.
Thank you, Todd.
Thank you, Judge. Be well. So, you know, one of the pillars in our community, Judge Mester, who's retired but not, he's still out there working and hustling. We have Jim from Allen Park. I knew I'd get someone on Kwame. Jim, how are you?
Hi, Todd. I'm excellent. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure, buddy. My pleasure. So you're a fellow Allen Parker. That's my hometown now. So,
excellent.
Yeah. So tell me, what's going on?
Well, I've been listening to WJR since I've been 6, and I love everybody on the weekend, including yourself.
Thank you.
And, I mean, I've worked on, you know, different mayors that ran for office, Mayor Bacabella, Richards, you know, some of the counties. I mean, what is more sacred than public service and the public trust? What can be more sacred? And if you realize this is a long-term vision of public service, you'll be taken care of once you leave office. I mean, I realize that's called lobbyist, right? But call me. I didn't vote for him, couldn't vote for him, not a Detroiter, but I wished him all the best. Young, charismatic, gathered people, great articulate, you know, orator, and he blew it.
Well, no question. No question.
In my opinion, he blew it.
Well,
selfish.
When you put his talents next to anybody, he has talents that were amazing, and I'm sure he's doing something good and positive, hopefully so, wherever he's at. It's what you do next that always matters.
Exactly.
And so here, you know, the point is, I'm not trying to say that Kwame wasn't found guilty. He was found guilty. There's no question. But the question I brought up was the sentence and the commutation. And whether or not that would happen or not happen. It didn't, and now Kwame's he's done, unless there is some remarkable Hail Mary that's, in, you know, next to impossible to happen. Where
Todd?
Yeah.
Here's how I would have allowed Kwame to be commuted.
Tell me now.
Pay back the money within 90 days.
Yeah. Well, can't get blood out of a turnip there, bud. Jim, you know what I mean. That's not going to happen. The bigger thing is, he didn't get it, so it's over. The question I had was he deserving of it? And I know that that causes the hair on the back and necks to stand up.
And you felt he was deserving of it?
Well, I definitely thought that that should have been an issue, that he's getting more years than a lot of people got for murder. That, to me, there is disparity there. However...
Based on other politicians or based on other white-collar crime stats?
No. I'm talking about when you look at, not in comparison of white-collar crime, heck, we can go out to politicians and it's not even in the ballpark. I don't know one politician that was ever convicted of a crime that got the same sentence that he got. I mean, heck, we got people that are selling seats that over in Illinois. We have a mayor down in Washington that not only, you know, was committing controlled substance act of cocaine, you know. That
sure.
wasn't what my point was. My point was is he got more time than, for you know, than people with second-degree murder charges. So
yeah.
When you look at it, I don't know, there was a question. It's just it's a debate. And I love your call because you're honest. You say it as it is, Jim, and I really appreciate that. And you're educated on the topic. Thank you so much for listening.
Another Allen Park boy. Glad you're on JR.
There you go, Jaguar.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you, Jim. Thank you, everyone, for listening in. And we'll be back next time with Behind the Bench. Till then,